Luke 9, verse 41. Jesus answering said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son hither. He's talking about the disciples couldn't cast out the demon. We're going to look at, we studied a lot about perverse generation and what that meant. It means to distort or twist or pervert. There's one other scripture we need to look at with that perverseness and deception. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ. Now the reason we're a sweet savor is because spiritually we're the burnt offering. We are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. Now, the word corrupt is a different word, but it's similar in that corrupt there means it's adding water to the wine for the purpose of commerce. And that's what the crooked wine merchants did. They added water to the wine so they got a bigger, more money. But spiritually, what many preachers are doing is they're adding water to the wine to make it acceptable to the ones who probably shouldn't be made acceptable. They're calling evil good and good evil, the whole nine yards. Remember, we've talked about this in regard to all of the disciples dying alone. All he would have had to do is to make just a little slight change to say that you can, it's this mystery of God is good for you in some way. They wouldn't have been killed. They'd have been in the same position the Jews were. When the Jews said, we will pray for your nation, and so they weren't. And all the disciples would have had to do is to say the same thing. But instead, the disciples came against every form of thought on the face of the earth in time and space. The question is, do we? Or are we adding water to the wine for the purpose of commerce? What?
I'm thinking how Jesus said, oh, faithless and perverse generation, and the same words apply today. It's like that doesn't seem to change.
Amen. Remember, the generation is genea, which just means, according to Second Corinthians 15, there's only two generations, the generation of Adam and the generation of Christ. But they twist the words and say each generation is 40 years, and so that means he was talking to this way, and then God was doing it this way over here in this generation, and then this has to come, and then, you know, it's the whole thing of dispensationalism. And that's because they say every time he uses the word generation in the scriptures, it means that 40-year period.
Right.
so they can prove to themselves anything. All right, back to Luke. Was that you wanting to say something?
I'm thinking. I don't know if you're done with that or not. I don't want to get interrupted in the middle. I'm going to talk about that in a, just a general sense. I'm not sure I understand. I might be missing something. The man says, my son has got this problem. He's possessed. They go to the disciples. Evidently, they tried to cast him out, but they couldn't. And my goodness, Jesus comes down like an 800 pound gorilla.
That's right.
They tried. Couldn't do it, so they turned to him. And was it because they didn't have confidence in what they were doing? Is that what you're saying?
Right. He was saying they were still part of the faithless and perverse generation, the rest of man.
So they're trying to remove this demon from this kid, but they're thinking, well, maybe I can't do this.
Right.
I see.
That position of thought blinds you. You can't. You're just working in the dark. But I think it's like Jesus. I don't know what he saw, but he must have seen a demon that he just told that.
Well, let's see what he did. He rebuked this unclean spirit. Wasn't any big deal. He didn't have an exorcism ceremony.
But what did he see that we don't?
I mean, he saw the power of God.
No, I mean in the little kid or whatever. He looks at him and perceives that there's one. He can figure it out.
He didn't. Remember, there are three. There's demon influence, there's demon oppression, and there's demon possession. And more than likely, this was far greater than just influence. So it probably was a possession. But he didn't. All he did was he rebuked him. Now, in my experience, I told you all the years. I've only had one experience that was true with a demon. And it was in that little girl that was talking to me in a man's voice and telling me all the crap I'd done in my life and what right did I have to speak in the name of God. And I just said, in the name of Jesus, be gone. And he was. There was no holy water and no little ceremonies. And if you look at Jesus, that's all he did.
He had the authority to do it.
Right. At that point, I knew I had the authority. I knew I was in him. All right. O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son hither. Suffer is anecho, A-N-E-C-H-O. And it means to simply put up with or to bear, no matter what it is. So let's look at some of these and see how they apply to us. In Romans 8, is the first one. Let's start in verse 6. Let's start in verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And that's why I say so often that you cannot use this thing which is enmity against God to gain that which is blessed. It can only come by repentance, by emptying. You can't learn your way into the kingdom of God. Then it's just philosophy. What?
I never saw this before. It's not subject to the law of God.
Yeah, why? You can't. That's why you can't use it.
Yeah, I just never saw that. It's like, that's pretty bizarre because he's made it that way.
Right.
He turned it over to Satan.
Yeah, I mean, he called the people that operate by the mind the children of Satan. You are of your father, the devil. And those were the Jews that believed on him. But as long as you are making as long as you are living by what you can sense or see or feel with the senses, or know with the mind, then you are carnally minded. Again, we go back to that. Let your speech be seasoned with salt. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracle of God. It's all of those things. You can never leave the mercy seat. If you leave the mercy seat, you go automatically back to time and space. There's no other option. And once you leave the mercy seat by concerns with self, concerns with what you're going to do next, or concerns with how to do something, then you're back, no matter, you're back to time and space. So you're carnally minded. Doesn't matter what it is. And this is, to know this is the, it's so incredibly important, because otherwise you will continually try to understand the mystery of God with your mind and it will always be perverted. Amen.
So it's like believing is of the heart.
Believing is of him.
Yeah.
It's him that believes. Faith, you don't have any faith. You don't have the faith to believe in a if a flea.
Like a mental Christian.
Well, they're carnal. There's no such thing. Can you see why the cross has to go as deep as it does? It can't be sometimes the cross and other times the mind. It can't be sometimes your death and other times cause and effect. This is why repentance is the key. If you see correctly, then you see, as Job did. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee, and I abhor myself, and repent, in sackcloth and ashes. That means he saw his death. The sackcloth, remember, was made of the hairs from the sacrifice. And so it meant you were putting on. You were the sacrifice. You were that animal which died. And the ashes you put on because you know that you are burned. You are consumed. Now, the only question is, you have to reach the same point that Job did. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. But now mine eye seeth thee, and I abhor myself, and repent in sackcloth and ashes. And you never leave that repentance. That's the only way you can love yourself. It's the only way you can love your neighbor as yourself. Because otherwise, you're just going to act like you do, and that can't stand the test of community. Everybody understand that? What, you're doing something, Gary?
I'm just enjoying the heck out of this.
All right. Romans 8. We are. So then they, in verse 8, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. And you mortify the deeds of the body, that's everything. That's your mind, your emotions, everything. And you mortify it by seeing that all of that is already dead. And so you give it no importance whatsoever. That's what mortify means. It doesn't mean you try to die. It means you see that you're dead. And that was sealed in baptism. Therefore, flesh is never again to be tested. Because you were buried in baptism.
Yeah, if flesh is tested, that implies that it can be regenerated or
fixed. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For if you have not received the Spirit of, for you have not received the Spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption. Remember, the word adoption is huiothesios, the placing of the fullness of the Son, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We cry, Abba means you see him as an intimate relationship. It's not just conceptual. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if the children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So suffering, if you're not suffering, you can't reign. And that's why people that trivialize suffering, like the success theology, it's God doesn't want you to suffer, then it's a perversion of the gospel. They've added water to the wine for the purpose of commerce. Amen?
Man, I like this. I reckon.
Done deal.
It's not negotiable at this point.
All right, let's go to Galatians 6. Well, let's just go to Galatians, not any number yet. Well, let's go to Galatians 6. We don't have time to go to the others. Verse 12. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. Now, what does it mean? As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh. Now, the fair show, it literally means to put on makeup. To dress in a certain way.
Politically correct.
Or whatever. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to change. To quit doing something. Or start doing something. That's what circumcision means. In the common Greek, they constrain you to be circumcised, lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. Now, how could they suffer persecution for the cross of Christ by wanting, if they didn't get somebody else to change? Anybody have any experience with that? They want you to change. They want you to stop being you. All right, Hebrews. Chapter 11. Verse 23. By faith, or by the, this is again, when it says by faith, it means by the action of faith. That's a biggie. By faith, Moses, by the action of faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Well, that's not really true in our thinking, because they were, the reason they put him in the bulrush, in the little whatever it was because they didn't want their child to be killed. But faith doesn't see that as fear. Faith sees that as the vehicle by which Moses became the son of Pharaoh's daughter, the next Pharaoh, so that he could have, so he as a type of Christ could be seen that he was, could have been king of the world, but he emptied himself of it by faith. And that's the way faith sees. Everybody understand that? And then the next one is even more obvious. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now remember, son of Pharaoh's daughter is a title. It meant he was the next Pharaoh. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Now, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible gives us a whole different set of facts, that he killed the Egyptian soldier, and he fled because the Pharaoh wanted him dead. But that's not what faith saw. Well, this one is, I really get excited about, because this was another one. This was a biggie for me, because it looked like it was a definite, no question, different story. One in Exodus, one here. Until I saw, my God, my God, my God. Faith sees the only thing that's real to God. We see all this other crap. And that, can you apprehend that? Can you grok that for a minute? And if you can see what faith sees, then you're free. If you can't see what faith sees, then you're still in bondage, because you're yet carnal. Got it? You're doing something. You always do something when you're doing this.
There are no accidents.
There are no accidents. The sovereignty of God is total. Faith sees you pulled out of the world. It just doesn't see all the crap that happened while you were getting pulled out of the world. This one blew my mind. It was so big that I ran around screaming and dancing.
It's like the carnal mind sees yourself and all it does and all your bad behaviors.
No, you can talk about your bad behavior. You can't talk about my bad behaviors. You have to say
it. About yours. No, it's talking about everybody's.
Yeah, I bet.
It's what a distinction. If you don't see that distinction, then you can't hear.
And you can't have faith.
Yeah.
Because you're still operating on the basis of
hope that
something else happens.
Yeah, make you good.
We gotta quit. I don't feel like talking anymore. We got some more to study on this. But can you see how important it is? Can you see what faith would? Let's take Jeff. Take my wife, please. No. Where did that come from? That's just stupid.
You got a little more to work with than I do.
Jeff sees right now. He's seeing struggles that he's going through, and that's all he sees. Faith sees him being conformed to the image of Christ. It's just
that's the same as childbirth. It's that same type. It's painful for the mother and for the child. It's just excruciating.
Well, the born again experience is the same way if you have any integrity. I used to be bad, and now I'm good, and everything is wonderful. I used to be bad, and that was kind of fun, and now, my God, what the hell happened? It's my worst nightmare. But it fulfills every desire of the heart. Amen? Take it large, person.